Blog Talk Radio.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. I'll know them again, we will never, never, never trust. Them not know what they do. They go to ya while I'm sticking like glue. Blinking green while I'm plotting for you.
Wonderful, marvelous, wonderful Monday evening. We thank God for November the 26th, 2012. As always, we come welcoming each and every one of you to our Blog Talk Radio show tonight. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Brother Jesse Storr, and we are so excited tonight to be able to discuss oneness is not selfish, and oneness does forgive. So as always, we just pray that God will have a blessing up his sleeves for each and every one of you, that you have come ready to receive and know that what God has for you is for you. And we thank God that you're not selfish in your marriage, and you're not selfish when you see other marriages that may be struggling, and you have words of wisdom to share through the Blog Talk Radio show, through others that you have been ministered to, that you're willing to share in a mighty way. And so I'm so grateful and thankful for your willing spirit, that what you learn, you will go forward and share with another brother or sister. We are so thankful tonight that you're here to join us, to be in agreement where two or more gather together, as we lift up our special prayer request to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that he would be in the midst. And we know we need to usher in the Holy Spirit. We can never do anything without asking the Holy Spirit to be in the midst of everything we do. So if you can go with me in prayer, and if you can be so kind as to stand in agreement with this opening prayer. Father God, we come as always, as humbly as our hearts know how. We thank you, Lord God, for this evening, another day that we've never seen before. And we know, Lord God, we can never see this day again. But in this day, as we finish and complete the rest of this day of November the 26th off, we thank you for this time that you've given us here today. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that you already have in store for us throughout the rest of this evening and throughout the night and days to come. We don't take it for granted each day that you allow us to rise out of our beds in our right minds and with the activity of our limbs. But for that, Lord God, we say thank you. We thank you today, Lord God, for each and every one of our spouses. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would continue to order their steps and allow them to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. Let them recognize, Lord God, that it's better to give than to receive. It's better to forgive, Father, than not to forgive. It's better, Father God, to not be selfish and to give in every aspect, in every area of our marriage. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, as we dissect this word and as we continue to study to show ourselves approved, that we will receive much word from you tonight, Lord, through our brother Jesse Storr and all of us that are willing to share through our transparencies on this night, or just share a word from you, Lord God, that you place on their heart. I thank you, Lord, for each and every married couple that has joined together tonight, that has recognizes, knows, and understands the importance, Father, of coming together in oneness, even on the Blog Talk Radio show. We know Satan is so busy. He is so busy in so many lives. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has put together. And he has no power if we allow ourselves an opportunity to stand bold and stand strong together, one to the other, as husband and wife. And we know that we can ask God to go ahead and fight those battles for us. And we thank you, Lord God, for every battle that you allow your army to go and fight for us on our behalf, that you would keep our marriages strong and faithful and fruitful, and allow us, Father God, to recognize the importance of great communication and understanding how, Father, we got to build up and not tear down. We must support our spouse in every area that we possibly can. As a spouse, we cannot put situations and circumstances in front of our families. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have the order in place, that we understand that we must put you first, God, then we put our family, then our workplaces. Then we put, Lord God, things that we may want to do, extracurricular activities. And I thank you for order, because everything must be done decently and in order, Lord God. And then, Lord God, I thank you as always for every single woman, every single man that has come to hear a word in season, so that as you prepare them, Lord God, for their perfect soulmate, they know how to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. And I'm praying for all of our single men and women and asking, Lord God, that you would bless them in a mighty way with patience, that they will wait upon you, Lord God, and that they will be able to understand, oh, Father, when you have blessed them with their perfect soulmate. Because when we know, Father God, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And in that good thing, Lord God, you have prepared for him. Proverbs 31, woman, Father God, we know that she will be after your own heart, Lord God, because we recognize no one understands that we can do nothing without you. I come as always, Father God, thanking you for the lovely man that you've blessed me with. I thank you for my husband, Brother Jesse Storr. I can't thank you enough, Father God, for the gift that you've given me in him. And I pray that you will allow us, Father, to continue to recognize, know, and understand that some of those little small things we do not sweat, that, Father God, there are things that we can look over. And I thank you for maturity in both of us, Lord God. And I pray that same maturity over every individual under the sound of my voice. And I pray, Lord God, as we continue to journey through this wonderful life that you have given us, the oneness in marriage that we are living in, that you would bless us, Father, to continue to be living examples of what you desire marriage to be. You've put that institution together as your first institution, recognizing, knowing, and understanding the importance of a family unit. And that's why you put us together to be fruitful and multiply. And I thank you for every child that you bless each and every one of us with as you've entrusted them in our care. And I pray, Lord God, for their protection in their goings and comings. And I thank you, Lord, that they will continue to seek your face and recognize, know, and understand who they are in you, Lord God, so that as they go and prepare before each day, their task ahead, whether it's just doing everyday assignments, whether it's doing quizzes, whether it's doing tests, that they are attending their schools. Father, I pray that you would give them the spirit of knowing that they can do all things through you, Christ Jesus. And then there's so many of our children, Lord God, that have become adults and are living on their own and working hard, Lord God. And I pray that you protect our adult children as well, and you supply their every needs and give them the desires of their heart. And for those that are young adults but moving up in age, Lord God, that desire to be married, I pray a special blessing upon each and every one of them. And then I thank you, Lord God, that as they continue to wait on you, Lord God, for their perfect soulmate as well, that you would give them words of wisdom, you would give them discernment as to know, Father God, who you desire for them to be with the rest of their lives. And then I come thanking you as always, Lord God, for allowing us, Father, to always pray for those that are struggling in their marriages. We know there's so many, and I pray for all of those. And we come especially against domestic violence tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you would be in the midst of every move that every spouse makes, that they recognize that they can't do physical or mental abuse, Father God, that they are there to love each other. You told us, Father God, that was your first commandment. We should love each other. And I thank you, Lord, that we understand what that little word, that L-O-V-E, stands for. And I pray that you will allow us to exemplify love in all that we do. I pray in the name of Jesus that is, we continue, Lord God, to be so grateful and thankful for allowing Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, for our sins, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, for giving your only begotten Son. We don't take it for granted, but we say, Jesus, we thank you, we appreciate you, and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen one more time. We thank God, we praise God for my queen, for that beautiful and powerful prayer. We give him glory and honor in all things because he is worthy to be praised. We thank God this evening for this particular subject matter because it is very timely as we look at the landscape in which we living in today, we find this one thing continues to rise its ugly head over and over and over and over again. And it's one of those things that it appears we just cannot get there. We have an early comment tonight that we're going to go to the line and see what this early comment is. We'll go to the line right quick before we get started. 732-1994, your mic is open.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Brother Storr. I'm going to say as best I can. I've lost my voice, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell the listening audience that you and your lovely bride are about to celebrate your wedding anniversary tomorrow. So I just want us to be able to congratulate you on that. What an awesome celebration of 16 years, And then also just to give us the time that you've given us, the two of you, that you spend the hours that you devote to come on subjects such as this as forgiveness, as we know this is one of the pitfalls of the downfall of marriages. And we just stand in agreement that this is going to be an awesome, awesome message today. And I love you, and I wish you and Tammy a wonderful, wonderful wedding anniversary in advance. God bless you both.
Amen. Well, thank you, my sister. We really appreciate that. And let's just go ahead right now, though, and just ask God to correct that voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, we touch and agree with our sister Shelley. We ask, Father, that your healing virtue would be poured forth upon her right now. It's just like the lady that just said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. We touch and agree that by the stripes of Jesus, healing has been made available for our sister and for all of us. We pray for all of those who, for whatever reason, over the past week, over the past weekend, have been battling some form of upper respiratory disagreement, flu, viruses, whatever it may be. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that even now, in this 21st century, you are still in the healing business. And as a matter of fact, Father, we can even tie that in, Father, with a scripture, Father, that you even had laid out tonight in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. We find these words, and when you spend praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, Father, we ask you tonight, if some may even be bothered, may even have ailments, may have infirmities, whatever, Father, due to a lack of forgiveness, Father, we pray tonight that they too might come to an attitude of forgiveness and receive the blessing that is ours to be had. We thank you in advance for the full manifestation for our sisters and all of those who agree with this prayer. And all that agree said amen, amen, and amen. We praise God for you, my sister. We know that you are in the process of healing. We thank God tonight. And that's what we all need to be, in the process of healing, in the process of understanding the value of forgiving. Many of us stand in chains of bondage, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, socially, physically, financially, in bondage, simply because we have a difficult time in forgiving. But see, we should not feel ashamed about that. We should not necessarily feel bad about that. But see, doctors have already determined there is a tremendous relationship between forgiveness and health. And not every time we get sick, so I don't want you to get this mistaken. I'm not suggesting that every time we may have a sickness, every time we may be attacked in our bodies, it has something to do with forgiveness or unforgiveness. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying, however, there are some illnesses, there are some situations where because we embrace anger and we embrace envy and jealousy and strife and all of those unhealthy, unnatural feelings, is that we put our bodies in a position that we can actually change the chemistry and change the electrical makeup of our bodies, where we begin to disrupt the harmony of the brain waves and all of the compositions internally that we have in us as human beings. And when we walk around, we begin to create a stress associated with an unforgiving spirit that can begin to even change our musculoskeletal system. And we begin to have increasing forehead muscle tension. We may produce headaches. We might have stomach pains, muscle tension, joint pains, aches, dizziness, become more tired. Our blood flow and blood chemistry become affected, that we may become affected with high blood pressure. We can lead ourselves ultimately to the possibility of stroke and cardiac arrest. There are so many things that are associated with this concept and this reality of unforgiveness, that we just don't necessarily connect it to the fact that it all may reside in the simple fact that we are walking around and we have not forgiven somebody, some person, some situation, some group, some people, some town, some incident, some whatever. And that every so often, every now and then, that we have conditioned ourselves that we get an element of pleasure in rehashing and retelling and remembering that incident, that situation. But because we are willing to do so, because we're willing to embrace the remembrance of that pain, we allow ourselves to embrace a soul destructive tactic and strategies in our bodies. Now, that's what the experts say. There's a harmful effect. It increases our vulnerability to all kinds of issues, low self-esteem, depression, depriving ourselves of other opportunities in life. God may send somebody our way that could be a blessing. And I must digress for a moment because God just brought it back to my spirit. Even in a movie that we were watching just yesterday, I'm sure many of you watched the movie Queen Part 2, when in that particular movie, Queen was so angry, so bitter. She had every right to be after seeing the father of her child being burned and hung to death. She walked around the world in unforgiveness, angry with everybody. And when God placed her in the vicinity of a man that had learned to love her and wanted to edify her and elevate her, she was so angry and had such bitterness that for a long time she failed to recognize the blessing due to that unforgiveness because she was so mad at the world. And it reflected what many of us go through in our lives. But we can't get over a pain of the past, and we relish it so much that we just go back and we revisit it over and over and over again. And as we revisit that pain, we slowly are causing such detrimental realities to take place in our bodies. Ulcers line our stomachs. Those negative situations begin to increase our blood pressure, begin to cause us to go on eating binges, that cause us to put on unnecessary weight. We begin to meditate and see that every time something may take place that may resemble something that happened in our past, we begin to believe and think and predict and to prophesy in our minds and in our spirit that here it goes again. I'm going to go through this same situation, not realizing that God has given us the power of creativity, that with the words that we say, with the meditation of our hearts, with all of these things that take place, we are putting into motion those things that will be consistent with the prophetic zeal, the prophetic imagery that we're putting into our spiritual consciousness. And see, this evil practice of revisiting the pain of the past instead of understanding what God has promised us causes us sometimes to miss the mark. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If God doesn't hear our prayers are hindered. If God doesn't hear when we pray without power. God commanded us to walk in love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And see, as we reflected, as we even came back, as we drove back, even as we spoke today, over and over again, this prevailing theme of unforgiveness. Oneness requires an act of forgiveness. Oneness requires us to walk without being selfish. Oneness requires us to see the best in each other. I challenge all of us this evening as we are moved into the Christmas season, where we will be less than a month from now, celebrating the agreed-upon date in the birth of Jesus. While we all know we cannot prove or validate, and we know it's probably not without a doubt, the birthday is the day that we have chosen to use as a memory. And see, sometimes I believe we should also choose in our lives other dates, dates where we have destroyed, or dates where we have put to rest, or we have put to bed, those things that may have happened in our lives that caused us to miss it. Where we learn to forgive first ourselves, because until we can learn to forgive ourselves, it becomes more difficult for us to learn how to forgive others. But see, we must do so. As we look back in our activities that have occurred even this day, that let us know, that confirm in our spirit the fact that this subject matter on forgiveness is right on time. When you see and when you hear loved ones, people that you know, people that you respect, people that you wish the only very best for, yet on this day alone, on three separate occasions, we have spoken to couples or to individuals that represented couples that are struggling and that are looking and trying to find out why is it that one or the other, or why is it that both of us have such a difficult time in simply forgiving the other? Again, when we study the whole concept and the whole process and the phenomenon of forgiveness, we find it's definitely more difficult than what we may think. Sometimes it seems as though that should be something very, very easy. But see, the concept of forgiveness in and of itself is a mystery that many of us cannot understand. Because when you combine the fact that someone has, in your mind, directly or indirectly, intentionally or unintentionally harmed you or offended you in some manner, and when it just so happens that this person is a person that you have made a contractual commitment to be your husband or to be your wife, for whatever reason, when you begin to combine all of that emotional, all of that love, all of that spiritual, all of those interconnected relationships together, and something goes amiss, when something happens that begins to cause friction in that relationship, and especially if something is done where one or the other believes they have been wrong, forgiveness becomes a mystery. For we begin to be more appealing to the flesh than we are able to stand in the spirit. That's why when Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself, it makes it so powerful. Because how many of us would refuse to speak to ourselves? How many of us would refuse to feed ourselves? How many would refuse to help ourselves when we know we need help? Yet forgiveness or unforgiveness would make us do that very thing. Well, we will be willing to turn our back. Well, we will be willing not to be responsive to the need of the very person that we have made a contractual commitment with. Yet oftentimes when things may be in the workplace, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor, maybe someone else, an offense may occur. Oftentimes, the experts say it's easier for us to forgive somebody that we don't even know than for us to forgive the one that we love, to forgive the one that we have decided to live our life with. When we come back, we want to get deeper into this mystery. Why is it so complicated? Yet why is it the number one reason why we see marriages falling apart today? We'll be right back after this very short break. to deal with that particular question.
If this world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, I'd give you the flowers, the birds and the bees. For with your love inside me, that would be all I need.
You could have anything. If this world were mine, I'd give you each day so sunny and blue. If you wanted the moonlight, I'd give you that too. If this world were mine, I'd give you anything.
We were created with those options. And when we come together, We come together to praise our Father for his majesty, for his grace, his mercy. And at the same time, we come with the question, why are we experiencing such an unprecedented activity, level of activity in our lives? As a matter of fact, we are battling the very foundation of the type of existence God ordained from the beginning. The constant roar of accommodation and compromise, because we sometimes think that some moments of victory in the flesh somehow is going to give us the blessings that are promised in the spirit. See, statistically, we see what appears to be just the outright demise of God's first ordained institution, this thing we call marriage. Now, we know and we can learn from time and from the Word of God that the power of persuasion and the destruction of the flesh opposite the spirit is throughout the Word of God. So when flesh leads in any relationship, and especially in marriage, good can never prevail. We have evidence of this reality all around us, amplified as spouses fail to do what's required in every relationship. That's simply to forgive. This simple act of kindness seems to be so difficult for people who have come together, especially as believers. The very act of forgiveness itself is ministry. It's ministry. Because then we're able to understand and we're able to make available to others release and freedom. The same as what God made available to us. So before we get going further, let us define, at least from a Webster perspective, because we all know Webster. Forgiveness is defined as to give up resentment or a claim to requital. This means to grant relief, to forgive a debt, to cease feeling resentment against an offender, to pardon. And see, when we think about this whole concept of forgiveness, our capability to forgive, it becomes the very destructive element of oneness. Because without forgiveness, we cannot grow. When we have a need to forgive someone, and especially our spouse, if we have to go through the process that requires us to look at that situation, to look at that offense from a godly perspective, if we would not have to go through that process of forgiving, we wouldn't even understand, we wouldn't have an appreciation of what God sees in us, in all of us, in marriage, in our marriage, in marriages, in the body of Christ, in people. We have a small microscopic opportunity to see life and understand the value of forgiveness. Because when we are able to forgive, we actually grow in the process. We become more spiritually attuned to the value of forgiveness. And not only that, we are healthier in the process. Mentally, physically, spiritually, we are healthier in the process. As a matter of fact, when we think about one question that a lot of married couples ask, will he or she ever forgive me for being selfish or so selfish? Will that ever happen? Well, see, we know what we need to do to make sure that never comes up if we read the Word of God. James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourself on it and thus be in defiance and false to the truth. How many of us even when we came together in marriage, there were situations where you may have been into envy or jealousy. You may have been angry, unbalanced anger. And God forbid that you ever really would have committed anything deemed to be abusive. Well, if we had studied the Word of God and listened to what James had to say, we would know that we are being defiant to the truth. God is love. God is truth. So if we were walking in the fruit of the Spirit, those kinds of thoughts we would cast down, because we know those thoughts come even to the minds of a believer. We know that the enemy is not going to allow us to go through life without suggesting things to our minds that will cause us to miss the mark. If we live in this dispensation, unless we live in a box, unless we live in a place where we are never exposed to anything, we are going to be given every opportunity to have jealousy, to have envy, to have contention, to be in rivalry. We don't have every opportunity. And so we must know what the Word would have to say. And with that being the case, we would not have to worry about being forgiven for being so selfish. Does that mean it would never happen? No, it does not. But it should let us know that if those things happen, then we have to reduce and eliminate any gap, the time period when that would take place until we are restored must continue to become shorter and shorter and shorter, with the goal being it never happens. And even if we live to be 120 years old and we never got to the point to where we never was in 100% agreement, that the contention that may come between us, it begins to be shorter and shorter and shorter. Because in the process of becoming that perfect will of God, we're doing everything we can to eliminate that, and we're making sure that we're walking in a spirit of forgiveness. As a matter of fact, think about Colossians 3:13, and we've mentioned this before. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning, forgiving each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Yet person after person will say to us, I just can't forgive them for that. I don't know if I can forgive them. Even though you may attempt to share in love what the Word has to say, and the person may come right back and say, but you just don't understand. Because each one of us feels, think, and believe that the pain we have is unique, that is different. There's some kind of way out of 8 billion people, and out of who knows, let's say even if it was 1 billion marriages, that thing that happened to us is so unique that it's impossible for somebody else to understand. You see, that's the fallacy of the enemy. The only way he can be successful in that is to get you to believe that. Is to get you to believe that the pain you experienced 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 12 months ago, 12 weeks ago, 12 days ago, 12 hours ago, even 12 minutes ago, that pain is so unique that no one else on the planet ever went through it. And so since it's so unique, you have every right not to forgive your spouse. We're here to tell you that's a lie straight from the enemy. Somebody else has felt that pain. Somebody else has gone through the process of even forgiving their spouse. But you know what? There were some others that did not forgive the spouse. And because of that, they're not together today. They're separated and or divorced. They haven't spoken to each other since. Don't get us wrong. We know and understand. that things that could take place in a marriage, to those things that we may have forgiven another for, in a marriage, they're much more complicated, much more involved. You're talking about a contract. You're talking about possibility of children, people that you've shared your innermost secrets with. And for something to go wrong, you feel as though nothing can ever replace that trust. Nothing can ever replace what you thought you had. But see, we're here to tell you that's not the case. We serve a God who says, look, if you don't forgive, then I cannot forgive you. Now, we want to see, though, there is a connection. Some people say that when you forgive a person that you should forget about it. But that depends. There are certain things that you should forget about when you've forgiven someone. But there may be some pains and there may be some experiences where you don't forget about them because they allow you to be stronger. And that by telling that story, by sharing that testimony of what God brought you through, you're able to free others. So in that sense, you don't forget about it. You use it as a ministry. You use it as your testimony. That becomes, that pain that was there, that pain becomes a weapon that you use against the enemy. Where you're able to say to the enemy, no weapon formed against me could prosper. And I'm going to even take that thing that you thought would bring me down, and I'm going to use it for God's glory. So I want to invite each and every one of you. You may have a story tonight that you want to share. You may have a request for prayer. God may be tugging at your heart right now with something that someone else may need to hear. Whatever it may be, we pray right now that God will give you the freedom, as there are many of you online tonight. We pray right now that God, if he so moves on you, that you might share transparently, but at the same time, whenever you share in a manner that would not offend anyone else. But that's our prayer tonight. If you want to make a statement, hit 1 on your phone, and I will recognize. My sister Shelly, if you could hit 1 again, your flag will go down. If you want to speak again, hit 1 again, and I'll then open it back up. We just praise God. We give him glory and honor. We're speaking on this subject because, even as we said earlier, just today, 3 separate marriages have been affected because this unforgiveness reality, just today. And we put this together, and we see it as just confirmation that we cannot forget about this forgiveness piece, that you think you've dealt with it one time, you think you may have dealt with it 3 years ago, 2 years ago, but it comes right back. We had a seminar about 3 weeks ago, same thing come up, this unforgiveness. We walk around not forgiving each other. We walk around with bondage, embracing the pain from the past and imposing that pain on our present relationships. We can't do that. We got to let that go. See, 1 John 2:12 says this. It says, I am writing to you, little children, because of or for his name's sake, your sins are forgiven. Pardon through his name and on account of confessing his name. So see, Jesus, though, answered and said, if you want that, that forgiveness for your sins, then you must be able in the flesh to do the same thing. You must be able to do the same thing. And somebody might wonder, well, why should that be? Well, look what Proverbs says about this whole concept about being offended. Proverbs 12:16 says this, a fool's wrath is quickly and openly known, but a prudent man ignores an insult. That means a prudent man, even if offended, it does not even affect him. All of us, most of us, never truly get to that where if any insult, if any offense would occur, you just ignore it. You may look at it as though the person that may have perpetrated the offense, they really didn't even know they were perpetrating an offense. They didn't even know that they may have been insulting you. And that person may be your spouse. That person may, they may not even have a knowledge that what they said to you, how they said it to you. They may not have even known it. And see, God may have been speaking to your heart to approach them a different way so that you might be able to help them grow and help them develop. That you may have been placed in their life because God wanted to use you to perfect them. But because you become offended by something they may say or something they may do, instead you walk around with anger and wrath, and sometimes you allow it to turn into malice. You allow 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months to pass by. You're not spending time together. You're not sleeping together. You're not doing anything together. And after a while, awareness is coming to your life. Awareness is coming to your marriage. And now you're wondering what happened. Simply because something may have been said, even unknowingly, and instead of you casting down all of those thoughts that came into your mind, you embrace it as though it was reality, as though it was some kind of strategic intent, and you allow the enemy to take you down a path of separation. That's not what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about love and understanding, and Jesus says 70 times 7. But we're praying that even those that hold out today, that even God can heal those situations. If we are not able as believers to show the world how we deal with disagreement, with discontent, if we are not able to be an example for them, what's going to come of this world? Where will the moral models, the moral authority, where will it come from? If it can't come from us, if we can't be the light. See, Matthew 5:22 says, but I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother, I'm going to say with his spouse, or harbors malice or enmity of heart against him, against her, shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. And whosoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his wife or to her husband, shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed. And whoever says, you cursed fool, you empty-headed idiot, shall be liable to and unable to escape the hell of fire. See, you can't walk around with contempt and anger for your wife or for your husband. You can't walk around meditating and thinking of evil things to happen to them. You can't continue to walk around confessing that there's nothing but ill will in your life and that there's nothing good about them and expect things to be different. Instead, we must practice what Paul talked about in Philippians 4:8, we must practice and remember the good things, the reasons why we came together in the first place. That must be the meditation of our heart, because even then the Bible tells us either go either way. If in Psalm 37:4, if I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. So my meditation is that my spouse, if she's a queen, if my husband, he's a king, whatever it is that I want, I'm meditating on what it is I desire. I'm not meditating on that I don't desire. I'm speaking what I desire. I'm not speaking what I don't desire. That's what we must learn to do. We must begin to model and to do what the Bible said we were supposed to do. Once we are able to do that, if we executed And if we lived what the Word says we should do, many of the challenges that we face, they wouldn't go away, but they would not be able to become strongholds that prevent us from having success in our marriages. So again, my brothers and sisters, if God has given you something tonight, we want you to come on and share it with us. See, James 4:3, another powerful scripture. He says, or do you ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? Your intention is when you get what you desire, you want to spend it in sensual pleasure. Now, let me break that down for how we see that related to what we're talking about. Even when you pray sometimes, do you pray and ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? When you pray and you're praying for your spouse, are you praying that your spouse may change, that your spouse may see the light, that your spouse may begin to become understanding of what your purpose and your motives truly are? Or when you pray instead, do you ask God to give you insight and understanding, to give you the ability to comprehend and better see what your spouse may be attempting to say? Depending on what kind of prayer you pray, that will give you an insight on what kind of purpose you really have. Let's answer that after we come back from this particular call. 386-8953, your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Eric Green. I was listening to the show, and I was listening to it from the ears of the devastation of church, being hurt by a church, not particularly the spouse, but the enemy, I find, has an attack on the family. And my experience was that the enemy attacked my marriage through getting us out of agreement of what church we was going to attend, because I had allowed something to offend me. And the points that you was making even relates to that, because that first marriage is between man and God. And what I was listening to the talk of points, I was like, wow, that even speaks to this, because now that it took faith for me in teaching and healing and forgiveness, for that matter, a lot of it was forgiveness, to get to a place where I wanted to reunite myself with a local body and begin to use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has blessed me with to be in use in the vineyard. And as a result, it brought the agreement between my wife and I back. That was restored. And I look at it from that perspective, because sometimes we don't know where the balance is off. We're not aware until we really do the introspection and start seeing where the gaps are. And you supplement, as in my case, I supplemented that particular relationship for being in still in tune with consistent fellowship. And I consider myself blessed, but that still wasn't enough. I still know what God was keeping before my heart. But because God, in his nature, he's really in touch with the very details of our life, and it's not a small thing with God, but God in his mercy, he healed me in his own time, and then he gave me a new maturity that I was able to understand that the power of partnership, a real partnership in God. And once I got that revelation, it just began to trickle down into the other relationships in my life over the course of about 4 years. And it's just been phenomenal. And I just wanted to add that piece because a lot of times, I'm not going to say all men, but some men have a issue with church leadership. And what it is that sometimes the enemy can very subtly get you apart from the fellowship and allow you to walk in your own understanding. And how God spoke to me was reminded me that it's a way to seem it right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. And it didn't matter whether I was a believer or not. That was the wisdom. So I couldn't use the excuse that I didn't know, because I know, and he showed it to me. So I didn't have an excuse at that point. I didn't have an out. So now they put me in a position where I was going to have to obey the known will of God or to continue to walk in the counsel of Eric. And I just thank God that I'm continuing to take those steps towards him, and he continues to reveal himself openly. And it's just a faith walk. And I submit that if you are having an issue in your communication, the communication gap may very well be the communication between the individual and God. And because when that communication is in sync, then you'll begin to be sensitive to the other things that cause communication to have a greater foundation to be built upon. So I share that in my experience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful, my brother. We're going to comment on that when we come right back from this short break. We praise God. That was beautiful. We'll be right back.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Yeah.
Eric, I believe what I heard is, you know, when you made that decision to give yourself away, to do something different from what you have been doing, I see that connection with the forgiveness piece as well. And I see, as you beautifully articulated, how it began to affect the overall relationship. I mean, God gave you that beautifully, and I really appreciate you sharing that, because the enemy has no respect for anything, and the enemy can use any kind of unforgiveness and use it in a manner, as you rightfully shared, that can affect our marital relationship. And so when God begins to work on us, and I played that song because when you decided to give yourself away to be receptive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then God just brought that back together, restored that harmony. Because, see, the other powerful effect of forgiveness is that when we go through that process, that's what it does. It restores harmony. You know, as you come against unforgiveness and then you reach that harmony, you experience Jesus. When he said in that John 14:23, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, you cannot say that you please God and hold something against someone else. And this definitely includes your spouse. But if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother or his spouse, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his own brother, and we're going to say his spouse, whom he has seen, lived with, had children with, that's our emphasis, how can he love God whom he has not seen? 1 John 14:20. See, both strife and unforgiveness hinder also your prayer life, because strife is merely acting upon unforgiveness. In James 3:16, it says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We praise God. It's so powerful to walk in forgiveness. We hinder ourselves and the blessings that God has made available to us when we instead want to hold on to that flesh bondage, because that's what it is, bondage. The freedom and the liberty is in learning how to truly walk in the fruit of the Spirit. For when we learn how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and we have to learn it, some are gifted to be able to have social skills that are far above and beyond what many of us have. But to truly walk in the fruit of the Spirit is a surrendering to the Holy Spirit. It's surrendering to love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we learn that, we can begin to see what James is talking about. How can you say that you love the Father when you fail to love the person that you have made that contract to be with? See, and see, it goes on in 2 Timothy where it says that because of strife, envy, and jealousy, Satan can capture Christians at his will. See, that's what we don't understand. Is that because we are part of God's family, we have to know and understand that Satan is looking to take every opportunity of confusion and make it a disaster. That's his plan. And he has no greater pleasure than to see that disaster occur in your marriage. Hallelujah. Hit one on your phone. You're able to come and share with us tonight. I'm going to open up the mic for my queen, and I know God has placed some powerful word in her spirit. The mic is open.
Well, good evening, Jesse, and I say good evening to our entire listening audience. It has been so good listening on this wonderful subject on forgiveness. And I know it's been a subject we've spoke on many occasions, and it's a subject that I know we will continue to speak on. It's a word in season that we all need to hear and we all need to recognize. Every day is an opportunity for all of us to be able to forgive in our own way. There's situations, there's people, there's things that sometimes under our control, other times not. And because of the flesh, we have to ask ourselves to go back and ask for forgiveness from those individuals. And we especially thank God that we understand his word on forgiveness, especially when it comes to our spouses. There are so many times, unfortunately, that little things are said or expressions are made, and sometimes we don't even recognize that we've offended one or the other. And I just say to you, my brothers and my sisters, get in the habit of, regardless if you think you've done something or not, just saying, if I did something to offend you, I'm sorry. Those simple words go a long way. And I thank God that both Jesse and I do use those words quite regularly. And I'm so grateful and thankful that we're not afraid to ask for forgiveness. And I know so many times, unfortunately, when we don't, it affects everything about us. It affects the way we respond when we're in the presence of others. It affects the way that we respond to each other. It affects, even as Jesse indicated earlier, our health. It causes us to feel down in our bodies. And there's no reason for us to go through all of those gestures, because we do have the love of God on us. We have what God has given us, and that is to be able to forgive and ask for forgiveness. And I know sometimes we get weak in our bodies and some things have occurred, especially sometimes over a period of time, and it's hard for us to forgive and ask for forgiveness. And when we get tired and we get heavy laden, that's when we got to utilize Matthew 11:28-30. It talks about, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we listen to just the words of God, the words of Jesus on what we are to do when we come against this evil thought called unforgiveness, we're able to be able to combat it with the Word of God. We have to use it as our weapon, and we have to know in the Word of God what it stands for. We can't just go and believe, think, and receive every time we hear the Word of God that that Word is true, but not applying it to our daily lives. We talk about applying this Word to our daily lives each and every day. We have to get it in our hearts, what 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 tells us. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. So many times we get so busy. We get so caught up in everyday situations, or so many of us in everyday sports and things that we feel come above and before our spouses and our children, and it cannot and it will not succeed putting those things before our spouse and our family. And if we just understand and know where we stand, and if we take the time to quiet ourselves enough, we're able to get in a spirit of forgiveness when every now and then one of us missed the mark. And it says love is not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It doesn't. It doesn't do you any good when someone has done something wrong to you for you to come back with harsh words and doing things that you know are not of God. But it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. We thank God that we have the love of Christ. And in everything we do, even when we have to forgive, we have to say to ourselves, what would Christ do in this situation? And if we ask ourselves that, and if we continue to study the Word of God, and if we continue to understand the Word of God, then we'll know what Christ would do in those situations where we don't have unforgiveness lingering on and on and on. and we're able to, the minute something happens, to release it off of us and to be able to surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow forgiveness to overtake us. And I'm so grateful that as we continue each and every Monday, each and every Wednesday, each and every Sunday, and every other day in between to study to show ourselves approved of the Word of God, we would be totally amazed on the things that we are able to do through the Holy Spirit, not anything that we've done, but because of the love of God that He has for us, that we are able to quiet ourselves long enough to know in those situations what to do. When someone has done wrong to us, it doesn't do us any good to go right back at them with other wrongdoings. It does us no good. So we thank God that through His word in Joshua that we're all familiar with, where it talks about be strong and of good courage. It talks about for us to meditate on God's word day and night. It talks about us recognizing that the word that was written by Moses, if we keep that on our heart, we will have good success. And God said in His word that He would be there with us. And I know when you're going through, if you meditate on God's word, if you stay strong and of good courage, I know that you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be disappointed about, because when you miss the mark, and you are going to miss the mark, it's part of living, that you're able to ask whomever you offended, ask them to forgive you. And you won't be so selfish not to forgive when they come and ask you to forgive them as well. And as soon as we as spouses understand how this destroys marriages, and we will stand firm and boldly on the word of God that Satan has no place in our households, that he will continue to do his will in our lives so that we can be the example to our children, to our friends, and to even strangers of how God put this wonderful institution of marriage together. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for this powerful, awesome man of God that God has blessed me with for 16 years. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for the day that we will celebrate on tomorrow in our anniversary. And I know that there's been some good days and there have been some bad days, but through it all, I thank God that the good days, woo, by far outweigh the days that have not been the most pleasant. And I know that we are continuously growing, we are continuously maturing in the word and in the way that God would have us to go as powerful, God-fearing men and women in the word of God, as a wonderful marriage that he has put together. And we know what he has put together, nothing or nobody can take us under. And so I thank God for us standing bold and strong one to another, Jesse, that we are able to conquer anything that comes our way. And part of that is forgiveness. And I thank God that we have that under control. And we love each other so much that we will not allow little things destroy what God has put together in great things. I thank God for you. I say happy anniversary to you. I look forward to spending time with you later. I look forward to the rest of this week. And I just thank God for the many more years that he will grant us to be together as husband and wife. Also, before I go, I would like to say happy birthday, happy early birthday to our dear brother. I thank God for Brother Eric Green, who will be celebrating his birthday on tomorrow on our anniversary, and we will celebrate with him. And also Minister Deneen Watley celebrated hers today. So we say happy birthday to both of you all. May God bless you and forever grant you with many more years to celebrate life as he gives it to you so freely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. Happy anniversary, my queen. May God bless you. May God keep you. I thank God for the day he allowed you to come into my life. And I thank God when he gave you the revelation that you were mine to have. We praise God for your wisdom in that decision-making process. Hallelujah. We thank God for your comments, and we thank God for you. I made this statement to my mother last evening. I made it to my son coming home, and it's truly a statement of fact. And I said to my son, I said to Jesse, I said, well, I hope and pray that you are as blessed as I am and that God will bring you a wife that is comparable to your mother. I said, because when he does, you will be a blessed man. I said, when he brings you a woman that loves him and a woman that is not motivated by commercial things, not motivated by material things and money things, and that loves people, that meets everybody as a friendly person, where your mother loves her as a daughter, as to where then you can also be welcome in their family, and the family, you know, looks at you as a brother as well. I said, trust me, it's a blessing. So I do thank God for my queen, and I thank God for our relationship and what God has allowed us to grow into. And we're still growing, as Tammy has said. There are days and times and situations, but I do thank God where we may have a disagreement, where we may be in discontent. But the time between it just grows shorter and shorter and shorter. And I thank God for that. And that means that it's always possible to get better, that always possible to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can become the good and an acceptable and that perfect will of God. And we want to give one scripture, one more scripture that really shows the power and the necessity of forgiveness, because forgiveness is still about a relationship between people. And we sometimes fail to see the application of certain scriptures to marriage. But remember, the word is so powerful and so rich, it applies to, we all know this story. We all know this story. We have all heard the story of Joseph and what happened to him. But this is one powerful verse in Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. And it says, so shall you say to Joseph, forgive, take up and away all resentment and all claim to requital concerning. I pray you now, the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now we pray you, forgive the trespass of the servants of your father's God. And Joseph wept when they spoke thus to him. Now Joseph had every reason, sold into slavery, where he could have been killed, ended up in prison, a lot of things. And the words say what they meant for harm, God meant for good. Because Joseph had to do some growing. There may be some times when something may happen in your relationship where God may allow it to happen. God may allow situations of discontent to come into your marriage relationship because one or both of you all need to grow. And he may allow it to happen for such a time as this, so that as you go through the process of forgiving, that when the revelation hits you, it may come upon you the same way it came upon Joseph. And Joseph wept, he cried when they spoke thus to him. So that when their spouse comes and say to you, I'm sorry, or when you go and ask, will you forgive me? There's such a power. That's the mystery of the ministry of forgiveness. When you're able to put aside what in your natural, rational mind will tell you, I have every right to be upset with you. I have every position, every foundation to want to just literally kick you under the bus. But when you're able to forgive your spouse, when you're able to look at them and say, I still love you, regardless of what took place, regardless of what you said, regardless of how you said it, whatever it may be. Because, see, at the end of the day, here's what we also find out. These things on forgiveness, they're not always about those big things we're about. They're not always about because one person went out and committed adultery, or one went out and spent the rent money, or one went out and did whatever it may have been. Most of the time, those things that we hold on to that keep us in bondage are so small. How you spoke, what you said, where did you go, how did you do it? They are so small. And we allow those little small situations to become cancerous and grow to the point to where no chemo, no radiation treatments, no surgery, nothing will be able to repair it but the love of God. And only when we then submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, forgive our spouse, and also ask to be forgiven. See, it goes both ways. When we're holding a grudge, when we're in anger, when we're allowing wrath and malice rule in our hearts, when we finally move upon ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to forgive him or I'm going to forgive her, we need to turn right around and ask them to forgive us. Because, see, if we truly were walking in maturity, we would have forgiven them when it first happened. When it first came to us, we would have forgiven them. We wouldn't have waited for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years or 12 years. We would have forgiven them right there. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you. Forgiveness never gets old. For, Father, it is a conditional reality. You said in your word that if we do not forgive, you will not forgive us. We pray tonight, Father, that some word that was said, some scripture that was read, Father, is moving in the hearts of your people, those that are listening now and those that are listening later, Father. We pray, Father, that it will penetrate and pierce their hearts, prick their hearts to a point to where even right now, if there's envy or jealousy or unbelief or backbiting, whatever it may be, some form of unforgiveness, we pray right now, Father, that they will humble themselves and come to each other and ask for bilateral forgiveness and then receive the blessings that you make available to each and every one of us. We pray this tonight in Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, starting next week, next Tuesday, we're going to have our Elder Hill that's going to start at 7 o'clock on next Tuesday, and we'll have a 3-hour slot going on Tuesdays, first with Dr. William Hill, and then second with Minister Kenneth Fireson coming after that. And this coming Saturday, I'll be getting with Brother Eric, make sure we'll have his show also lined up this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock. We're also expecting our own Minister Derek Jones to be joining us again, coming on that Thursday time slot. So we praise God for you being with us tonight, and we're going to leave tonight with only one way to do it. I will always love you. This is becoming a classic. God bless you.
Should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I goodbye, please. don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. And I will always love you. I will always love you. All you dreamed of.